Good morning. Isn't it amazing? It's Labor Day weekend already. You know what? It just seemed like it was yesterday. Memorial Day was here, and we were getting ready for the summer. Now we're getting ready for the end of it. And I just thank the good Lord for the opportunity that we have to be in His house one more time. Do you not? Amen. You've heard of Angie's List. You've heard of probably Schindler's List, have you not? You've heard a lot of that kind of stuff. I'm here this morning to talk about a bucket list. A bucket list for Christians is what I want to talk about. You know, you've heard of people talk about things sometimes, of places they want to visit. You know, I had kind of like, if you want to call it a bucket list, of some of the places I wanted to visit. And I've got to visit quite a few of those. I've got to do that, and I praise God for the strength and the time to do that. Or you know what? Your places you'd like to go before you die, and things you'd like to do, or maybe food you'd like to eat, or I don't know, just different things that people put on a bucket list. And once you know what happens, I'd just like to do it before I kick the buckets, what some people would say. What got me talking about this was this past week I heard some guys at work talking about this. But anyway, I put together a Christian's bucket list. And I want you to look at this, and I want you to listen to what I'm preaching about this morning. And see if it's something that makes sense to you. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving in my heart, Lord. I thank you for everything that you've done, Lord. I praise you for your mercy, for your grace, for everything, Lord, that you give us. I want to thank you, Lord, for the love that you've showed, Lord, and for how, Father, that you've poured your love out upon us. And Father, we just cannot give you the praise enough for it all, Lord. I thank you for this beautiful Sunday morning. Thank you for the souls that's made their way out here this morning. I pray, Father, that you would open their hearts up this morning, Lord. And I pray, Father, that, Lord, the message would be just exactly what you'd have it to be. In Jesus' name we pray and ask, and amen. If you turn to Philippians, the first chapter, the 23rd verse. Philippians 1:23. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Praise God for that scripture. Thank the Lord for it. Hollywood made a movie about the bucket list here a few years ago. Actually, it's one of the few movies that I've ever watched. I went and seen that. There's all kind of bucket lists out there. If I was looking for that, there's one for beer drinkers. There's 50 different varieties of beer that they said that they could try. You could visit all 50 states. There's a bucket list for just about anything and everything that you want it for. When I told you I thought about this, why not a bucket list for Christians? Let's do something upright. Let's come up with some positive deeds that every disciple of Jesus should do before kicking the bucket, so to speak. Number one, which I think is foremost, and I believe that it should be at the top of everybody's list, win someone to Jesus. That should be at the top of every Christian's list before you go out of this world, is to win a soul to Jesus Christ. There should be nothing that is more at the forefront of our conscience, our Christian thought process, than to try to get somebody else, to try to bring somebody else into the fold. Do you agree with that? May I suggest three steps in doing this, if you don't care? Pray and ask, number one, pray and ask the Holy Spirit to lead you. Number one, John 16:13 tells us, how be it? When the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. Do you need to pray? If we're going to do this and we want to win souls and have that at the top of our priority, pray that the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you and put somebody before you. Work on individuals before you. Work on them. You know what? Let the Holy Spirit prepare the soil before you. You know what? Whenever I'm talking about winning a soul to Jesus Christ, I believe that if it's right that the Holy Spirit will go before you, I believe that the Holy Spirit will make that person's heart ready for whenever you get there. I believe that. Luke 8:15, but that on the good ground they are which in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Have the Lord prepare the soil before you go. I think that's important. I'm here to tell you this morning, do not do this on your own. Do you understand that? You can do more harm than you can do good if the Holy Spirit is not leading you, if the Holy Spirit has not went before you to prepare a way. I'm here to tell you it can be done with more harm than it can be good. The second thing about witnessing and getting leading someone to the Lord is this. Be ready. Be ready if someone is wanting to know Jesus as their Savior. Come in, be ready to let them to introduce Him to them. How do you do that? Know the salvation scriptures. Know them. How about 1 Peter 3:15? It tells us this. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And listen to what it says. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that seeketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. Of the hope that is in you. Listen to me. With meekness and fear. Now, I'm going to here to tell you this morning, if you don't have any hope, don't be going out there trying to spread Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you this morning, I have hope. I have hope that whenever this life is over with, I know where I'm going, Ed. I know where I'm headed to. How about you this morning? I've got hope. There's no hope in this world that we live in today. There's none. I believe that the Bible says, as Sean said, that it will wax worse and worse, and it will wax worse and worse. Why do we see, and he's talking about evil. We see the manifestation of evil so much today. Why? Because we do have so much media out there. We see that. But if someone asks you, how can I be saved? Do you know the scriptures? I'm asking you honestly this morning. If someone approached you this morning and asked you, what must I do to be saved? What would you tell them? Would you tell them Romans 3:23? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen to me. Everyone is a sinner. Everyone that is born in this world is a sinner. And you know what? If as soon as they realize that, and as soon as they have that in their lives and in their mind, to know that, and we need to let them know that that's what the Scripture says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 10:9-10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What awesome scripture is that right there? What awesome scripture is that right there? Do you know that? That the Bible tells us that whenever somebody asks us about salvation, that that's what we can tell them. How about Hebrews 7:25? Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. I'm here to tell you this morning, whenever I got saved, I didn't get that much saved. I got it all saved. Amen? Amen? I got it all. Jesus Christ come into my heart. The Spirit, if I'm talking to someone here this morning that does not know the Spirit and has never felt the Spirit, they think this stuff's nonsense. But I'm here to tell you this morning that it's not nonsense. Because the Spirit of God can come into your heart. It says, save you to the uttermost, that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to maketh intercession for them. The Jesus Christ that died upon the cross, that sits at the right hand of God this morning, is always there to make intercession for everybody. Amen? He's there to do that. And the last thing about praying and about seeing people saved, leading someone to the Lord, is start asking people. Start asking. Don't be afraid to witness to someone when the Spirit's leading you and giving you the opportunity. 2 Timothy 1:7-8. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm here to tell you, whenever you hear people talking about Christians being crazy, no, they're not. We are more sound mind than anybody in this world is. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner. That's what Paul was saying. But be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Let them know again that we have a hope. Colossians 4:6 tells us, "Let your speech be always be with you grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how we ought to answer every man." Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, for everyone that believeth, to the Jews first, and also to the Greeks." Listen to me. Praise God this morning. You know what? We have got something to talk about, and it's not the weather. It's not about the football games yesterday or Friday. It's not about our grandkids, although I love to talk about mine. It's got something we can talk about beyond and beyond all this, and that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know what? The first thing on the bucket list is we should strive to get other people to Jesus Christ. Amen? The second thing on every Christian's bucket list should be this: find someone from your past who has done you wrong or who you have done wrong, and guess what? Apologize. Apologize. You say, even if they've done me wrong, yes, the Scripture says even if they've done you wrong. If you're like me, you can recall someone in your past who's done you wrong or who you have done wrong. You know what? Somebody you're rude to. Maybe someone you offended, or they offended you, or they were rude to you, or maybe they hurt you with a careless word or act, or maybe you did the same. Yet, sometimes, something keeps bringing it up in your memory. Something keeps bringing... You know what that is? If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit's trying to deal with you. He's trying to deal with you to get you to the point where, listen, you know what? Listen, I know what needs to be done in your life to bring you closer to me, to Jesus Christ. You cannot go back and undo what's happened. You cannot do that. Do you understand that? You can't undo that, but you can do the next best thing. You ask God to put them in your way. You ask God to give you the opportunity, and then you make it right, Christian. Amen? You make it right. Don't wait on them to make the first step. God is dealing with you on that. You make it right. Then feel the burden be lifted from your soul. Do you understand me this morning? That the burden can be rolled away. The burden can be lifted from your soul if you just do that simple act. Even if someone has done you wrong, even if they've done wrong you, hurt you deeply, left scars on your soul. I'm here to tell you this morning, there's scars on my soul from things I've done and what people's done in the past. And I'm talking about after I become a Christian. You understand me? Do yourself a favor and get rid of the anger. Do yourself a favor and get rid of the ill will. Do yourself a favor this morning and just go and make it right. Is it possible? I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that it's easy. I'm not. Remember, the Lord is the great healer of the soul. That's who can make it. That's who will make it right. He is the great healer of the soul. His restoration work will require us to be obedient, though. Matthew 6:14 and 15. "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." So what's the opposite of that? It's telling me if you don't forgive them, He won't forgive you. "But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Man, that's awful hard, is it not? But that's what God wants. Colossians 3:13. "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Man. Let me ask you, aren't you glad that Jesus Christ forgave you? Aren't you glad? So what's He expect out of us? Since He's done that work for us, since He has done that work in our life, He's asking us to be able to forgive others. Seems like a small thing, does it? I know it's not easy, but it seems like that, does it not, when you compare it in that way? Ephesians 4:31 and 32. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." Forgiven, even if you're not the one that has done the wrong. Wow. That should be right there. It's the second thing of Christian's bucket list, right? That should be there. And we should do that to help us grow, help us be the Christians that we need to be. The third thing on a Christian's bucket list, I think, do a random act of kindness. Do a random act of kindness. Do a good deed and do it anonymously. Pay for someone's meal, especially if you don't know them. Pay someone's toll at a toll plaza. Pay forward. Have you ever done that? Pay for someone's groceries. Send a check to someone in the mail. Help someone with yard or housework. Leave a note on someone's car. I'm just saying things. Send a card or a letter to someone. Colossians 3:17 tells us, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. That's what he's saying. Do an act of kindness. It don't always have to involve money. I understand that. A lot of times it does. But praise God. Just do it an act of kindness randomly. Just do that and watch God bless in your life. Watch Him use you. I heard a preacher say one time he would just go down to a poor area and he said he would just drop a $5 bill on the ground and just walk off. You think, well, they could buy that and get drugs with it. You let God deal with that. You understand me? You let God deal with that. If He's telling you to do a kind act of kindness randomly, you do it, whatever it may be. You do it, whatever it may be. And don't come to church and be like a rooster and stand up and crow about it. Matthew 6:3, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand has done. You don't have to let people know what you're doing. Just do it. I have gotten notes and cards in the mail that have blessed me beyond measure. Nobody had to sign their name. I didn't have to see the address where they come from. It just blessed me to know that people loved me and thought about me that way. Do something like that. If you've never done that, I'm encouraging you this morning to act upon that, to do that. Number four, Claire mentioned this morning. Visit a nursing home or a prison before you kick the bucket. Minister to those who rarely have visitors. Yes, there are some patients at nursing homes who do not have no family left. There's some up in Parkersburg, up here where we go, that have no family left. And the only ones that they see are the workers and whoever comes in there to visit other family members. Isn't that a shame? Praise God, we are the family of God and we can do that stuff. God has given us, He's given us the opportunity. There are those in prison who have no one to visit them. Visit those who have lost their spouses. Matthew 25 tells us this. It says, for while I was hungered and you gave me meat, I was thirsty and you gave me drink, I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me, I was sick and you visited me, I was in prison and you came unto me. That's Jesus talking right there. Amen? Amen. James 1:27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. I'm here to tell you this morning, folks, visit the nursing homes. Visit the prisons. Visit those that have no way to get to you, but you can get to them. And I'll tell you what, you watch God bless. Watch God bless your life and lift you up and show you what. I mean, you know what? I often think about this. That could be me one of these days. You say, oh, I've got plenty of family. You know what? By the time life is done with us, by the time God is done with us, you may not have no family left. And you may be the only, you may be sitting in that nursing home one of these days, and you're sitting in there wanting someone just to come and visit with you. Think about that. Just think about that. Number five, find someone who was instrumental in your life. who took an interest in you when maybe you were not quite at your best. Maybe they took an interest in you whenever you were struggling. Let them know how much they meant to you. It could be a Sunday school teacher. It could be a preacher. It could be a good Christian friend. I don't know. Can you think of a person who made a lasting impact on your life? If they made an lasting impact on your life, I'm here to tell you this morning, let them know while they're still alive. I've heard an old saying, give roses while they're still alive. Do you know what that means? That means go and tell them that you are thankful for what they've done in your life. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 and 13 tells us this, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and do what? And admonish you. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourself. You get that? And esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Not because of what, but because of God working in them to come and bring you up and try to lift you up. I'll tell you what, these young ones, these teenagers, I'll tell you what, these people need us. Amen? And one of these days, I hope that they can stand across, maybe whenever I'm old and done, and look and say, I'm glad that you helped. I believe that's what should be on every Christian's bucket list. Philemon 1:1-7. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Alphia and Archias, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have a great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brethren. That's Paul's letter to Philemon. Listen to me. Folks, we have somebody, we know somebody who has helped us, who has brought us and led us to where we are today. If you are a Christian, you're somebody in your past. And if they're still alive, I encourage you to thank them for what God had did in their life for you this morning. Number 6 on the bucket list. Find out what your spiritual gift is and fully utilize it for God. Find out what it is. 1 Corinthians 12:1-7. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Everybody in here who claims to be a Christian has a spiritual gift. Amen. Do you know that? Do you understand that? Everybody in here has a spiritual gift if you're a Christian. And you know what? It's up to us to utilize it to the full ability of what God has for us. Romans 12:4-8. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one to another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to propitiation of our faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on his teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Folks, everybody in here has a gift. Whether it's a gift of just showing mercy and love to people, whether it's a gift of giving, whether it's a gift of playing the piano, whether it's a gift of singing, whether it's a gift of teaching, whatever it may be, whatever your gift is, I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to give you a bucket list to say, listen, Lord, let me use it to the fullest of my ability. Number 7, tell everyone that you love that you love them. That's very simple, right? I'm reminded of the story of a lady by the name of Emmylou Holland, is this lady's name. She was in the hospital and she was growing weaker by the minute. Her pastor went in to see her. She looks at him and says, "Man, it must be worse than what I thought." And he said, "Why?" "Because everybody comes in here tells me they love me, and they never did before." Isn't that a shame? Isn't that a shame? Don't wait till somebody is on their deathbed to tell them that you love them. Can I encourage you this morning to those people that you love and are important in your life? I'm here to tell you, as much as you can, go up, put your arms around them, and tell them that you love them. Amen. Tell them that you love them. Don't just say, "Well, they know that I do." No, 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 no. Tell them that you love them. Because everyone needs that. Everybody needs that. I don't care what it is, what the situation. I'm here to tell you this morning, let someone know that you love them. What a pity that we have to wait until someone's sick and dying to do that. What a pity. Romans 12:9. Let your love be without dissimulation. What's it saying? Let your love be sincere. I'm not telling you to go up to somebody that you don't love and tell them that you love them. I'm not going to tell you to lie. But if you love somebody, I'm here to tell you this morning, you go up to them and you show them that you love them. Love's not a dirty four-letter word. It's not. As much as other four-letter words are used out here in this world, I tell you, we need to use love more. And use it quite often. Number 8, learn to pray more often and learn to pray better. One of the finest things that could ever happen to many of us is to develop a divine dissatisfaction with our prayer life. Are you satisfied with your prayer life this morning? I'm here to tell you, I hope not. I hope not. I hope you're not. There's more to a prayer than to recite one. As I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with teaching our kids that. But you know what? I don't think adult Christians should be just saying that just out of their mind. Am I right? You agree with me on that? That's okay to teach our children, and I believe we should. We can talk to God on a more personal basis. Do you agree with me? 1 Corinthians 3:1-2, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet are ye now able." Why did he put that in there? Because guess what? We have people that are 70 and 80 years old that are still on the milk. You understand? As Christians, we should grow. We should grow, and I say this, I know you get tired of hearing me, but if you have not grown any more than what this from last Labor Day weekend to this Labor Day weekend, there's something wrong in your spiritual walk. We need to be closer to God. We need to be able to say that, "Lord, I am closer to you now than what I was a year ago." Matthew 6:5-8. "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets. And they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their rewards. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions." Did you get that? "As the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard with their much speaking. But be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask. He wants us to go to Him and talk to Him personally. You know that? He wants us to go to Him and talk to Him just like I'm talking to Greg. Hey, God. Man, it's another beautiful day. I thank you for it. You know, God, go with me down through the rest of this day. Be with me, Father. You know what? And I've got this going on today in my life. Can you help me with this, Lord? Can you come and be with me here? Talk to Him like you would talk to the person sitting beside of you. That's what God wants. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Let us find out, and let's make ourselves, one of our greatest bucket lists is to become a prayer warrior. Isn't that what we can do? Let's become a prayer warrior. There's people, I've noted people down through my life that I consider them prayer warriors. And you say, what's a prayer warrior? That's somebody that I can take it, something to them. And if I take it to them, I know that they're going to be praying for it. They're just not going to tell me, hey, I'll pray for you. Yeah, I'll pray for you. No, they're going to pray for me. Amen. Amen. We need to be that. Every one of us need to be that. Number 9. On our bucket list, I think we should do before Christian. It said, read and study the Bible even more. Memorize a verse or a chapter if you can do that. I'm not talking about Jesus wept. I'm talking memorizing a verse. Psalms 119:11, thy words have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. My words have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Listen, if the Word of God is in our hearts, then I'm going to tell you, the more that we get that in there, the less anything else has got room to get in there. Am I right? It makes sense if the more of God's Word's in here, there's less space for anything else. Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Listen to me, praise God. Get into the Word. I know I preach this a lot, but I believe it. God's Word is so important to us that the more that we learn and teach and have it in here, the better off that we will be. And the last thing I want to talk to you about on the bucket list today, go on a mission trip. And this is something I put in there for me personally. Here or abroad, I've never been overseas, but talking to those people who have been over there, I'm here to tell you right now, when you go into Hades or Guatemala or some of those countries over there, I'm here to tell you, you will never, ever be the same when you come back. And that's what they've told me. I've heard of teenagers going over there on mission trips with some of the churches I've talked to. They come back, their lives are totally different. Their lives are totally different. For you know why? Because it's not like over here, by no way, shape, or form. Why do the Lord work? Listen to me. Matthew 8:28-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. What did He say? He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. All nations. He didn't say some. He said all. Luke 10:2. Therefore, said He unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye, therefore, that the Lord of the harvest, He will send forth laborers into His harvest. Listen to me. If we ever decide to do that, I want us one of these days as a church, I want some of us to go on a mission trip. That's a bucket list item that I would like for us to do. And I believe people would go. I believe we would go. And I believe, you know what, that we would never be the same whenever we did, because we would truly understand what it's like to have nothing but still love the Lord. Amen? We're talking people living in dirt-floored houses, straw huts, whatever it may be. In some of those areas over there where I've talked to people, and they go in there, and when they have church, brothers and sisters, they have church. They praise God. They worship Him. They don't have nothing hindering them. Seeing the face of those who have nothing as far as worldly things go, but having it all as far as spiritual works go. Praise God. That's my little short bucket list for a Christian. You probably could add so much more to it. Maybe you've done some of that. I don't know. I hope and pray that you have. But I'm here to tell you this morning, before we leave this world, before God takes us out of this world, let's accomplish some things for Him. Amen? Not so much out here in the world. I'm not against anybody wanting to go see places and do things. And I'm not against that. That's not what this is about. This is about us as Christians doing what God wants us to do. They come and get a song this morning. I'm done.